My name's Dan. I'm an addict. Let me start off by saying I'm grateful to be alive today, and I'm grateful to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous. And I just don't say that to say that I'm truly in tune with, I got a chance to live life today. And I don't know about anybody else, man. I'm going to take a little poll in here. I don't know who had to call their sponsor today. I'm talking about had to call their sponsor today. I don't feel alone, Rich, because I had to call my sponsor today. Everybody says, Dan, every time I hear you speak, it's different, and that's good because I try to stay current. So what I'm saying is when I woke up today, I did not wake up feeling spiritual. And what I know is it don't matter how long I've been sitting in here in this process. What matters is, am I in the process? And I knew that, how I lived my life yesterday wasn't cool. And I stayed clean, but it wasn't spiritual, and it wasn't God's will, and it wasn't spiritually centered. And when I woke up this morning, I know if I keep stringing days like that together, I will be somewhere uncomfortable trying to make my ass comfortable again. Like, I know there ain't no immunity here. This is a just-for-today program. I know that. And I'm going to share about that today. So I had to come up here and talk honestly. My clean date, April 22nd, 2002, right? But my goal today is to get June 7, 2014 in the books with a W on it, which means I didn't get high today. And it's about life and death. It was about life and death when I got here in 1991, and I didn't understand that. And it was about life and death on April 21st of 2002, right? And it's about life and death today, man. That don't change, man. I have the disease of addiction, right? And I really didn't understand that when I got here. But thank God I've had some people help me with that, man. So I had to start off my day by calling my sponsor and have to share with him honestly what was going on with me. And I'm still a guy. I was a guy that grew up, I would get my ass beat with a belt and not tell the truth. My mom would say, if you tell me the truth, I won't beat you. I was getting beat because I was incapable of being honest about anything. You know what I mean? Did you color outside the lines? No, it wasn't me. That's simple stuff, man. I mean, I just could not tell the truth, man. So what I'm saying is, through this process, it's gotten easier, but I woke up and I really didn't want to tell the truth on me. I'm just being honest. So when I first called my sponsor, I said, hey, man, it's Dan, just touching base, whatever, nothing really going on. If you get a chance, give me a ring, right? The beauty of sponsorship. I'm driving up here on this beautiful day, right? And a sponsee calls me. See, this is a two-way street, man. This ain't no union gig. Seniority. I got more seniority than you, so I'm a platinum member and you're a bronze member. Nah, man, it's about just for today, right? So my sponsee calls me and he says, hey, he goes, I want to let you know, I really didn't live too good yesterday. And he goes, step 6 and step 7 were coming out, and he shared with me, and I thought, well, I ain't sharing with you what I did, because it's worse than what you did. But I helped him out, which helped me out. But he was like, I just wanted to get with you because I know that, I can't string days like that together and the urgency of that. And then once I got off the phone with him, I called my sponsor back. I said, listen, man, I need you to call me the first chance you get. Exact nature. Share the exact nature of some shit. Soft shoeing around, half-assed. I'll be half high, so I'm calling Johnny to get here. I ain't getting into that story today, but I was thinking I'm driving up here, man, right, in a car that the bank owns that they let me drive every month when I pay them, right, basically. I don't own it. I want to front and say I own it, but actually the bank owns it. But I was driving up here, man. I'm listening to some music, and it's beautiful. And I'm thinking, how many days of my life like this did I spend in an attic? I don't know about you. I used to sit in them attics where the roof was like this. You know what I mean? Up them three-third stories. You know what I'm talking about? You're bent over like this. sitting on two Iron City returnable cases with a car antenna in my mouth. Talking about when I get my shit together, I'm going to do this. When I get my shit together, I'm going to have a new Impala. You know what I mean? Right now I'm walking with no freaking holes in my shoes, right? Grace and mercy, man. Grace and mercy. That's why I'm here today, you know. And when Keith called me, you know, sometimes I sit around. I want people to come up and just like slap me, man. Am I really awake? Is this shit really happening? Like, he called me and I was at dinner the other day and I was pissed when I got home that night. And I had to get like that in perspective with a 10th step. But I got home like late Monday. Not at Keith calling me. It wasn't that. It was like I got home like at 11 o'clock Monday night. I was at work all day. I was with the owners of the company all day, right? We had dinner. They bought me dinner. All this stuff, right? And Keith called when we were having like a little break. And so, like, I thought, what's cool, I'll take the call, right? And I start talking to him, and then all of a sudden, like, everybody's looking at me. Because they're like, when are you going to get our machinery running? We got millions of dollars invested here. You're going to get this shit running. I'm like, oh, man. Yeah, just send me the info, bro. I got to go. And, like, from where I came from, man, like, people were asking me. Like, I got keys to these people's building. I got the security codes of these people's building, man. You know what I mean? That's like, that's some days, like, you know, I want to say, like, do you know who I am? Didn't they send you the memo? I got a resume. I got a good resume. Listen, I don't got shit, man. God and Narcotics Anonymous got me that shit. Let me get that straight right now, man. I grew up in Scottsdale. It's about an hour from here. 45 minutes from Somerset, down. It's a small town. That's where I grew up, and I just wanted to share that little part about my day, just to let you know, because I got a story I could just go to, and soft shoe out of here. But I want to let you know, with time clean, we still do some dumb shit here, and I got to get honest with it, because the disease loves when I do dumb shit, right? It starts planning how it's going to use that ammunition against me to get me back in the hit house. So that's where I grew up in Scottsdale, and I remember through step work being all right. And thank God for step work. That's why I said I am grateful to be alive today. I am grateful for the program in Narcotics Anonymous because it gives me the best opportunity to live a full life today. I don't know about nothing else. I ain't anti-shit. I'm pro-Narcotics Anonymous. I'm pro what this program can do for you, man. I'm a living example, man, of what this program can do for you. So I grew up, and there was a time when, like, I was all right through step work was revealed to me. I was happy, joyous, and free as a kid. I was, like, in the moment, man. And then somewhere along the way, that dynamic changed. And it was way before I used drugs. And I know some of it dealt, like, I ain't real good with change. And I got, like, low self-esteem and low self-worth. You know what I mean? And I was reading in step 6 today because I had to get with that because of some character defects and shortcomings that caused me pain. No, they caused me joy yesterday, but were causing me pain when I opened my eyes up this morning. You know what I'm saying? You ever go to bed like that? Go to bed laughing, waking up crying? Yeah, I spent a lot. I ain't doing that today, especially unmedicated. You know what I'm saying? So I know I got to get that shit together. But there's something about, that says there in there, or a lot of our literature, there's something that's like comfortable about like familiar pain. Like I like familiar pain, obviously. What I'm saying, there was some shit going on for me early, a dynamic I didn't understand. I hated the first day of school. Hated it. Because I would go, man, and I'm Polish, man, and the teacher could never say my name. Never, right? So I'm in there, and I always had like that low self-esteem, self-worth. Like I just want to, can I just sit in the back of the room and like breathe the air? And nobody look at me or bother me, man. You know what I'm saying? Can I just be like left alone? Right? And they would say my name, and they would butcher it, and they're like, how do you spell it? And like everybody's looking, and I felt like everybody was looking, and you know, and look at the Pollock, blah, 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 whatever. I was going through my head, man, at an early age. I'm just telling you what was going on, man. And so that just jumped off from there into other things. How I felt. And not like feeling that I could share that with anybody. You know? I probably could have. I was just like incapable. Incapable of like telling the truth on how I felt. Incapable of telling the truth of like what was going on with me. Incapable of like staying current. That's why I said I had to call my, I had to get current today. You know, he knows, he told me, listen, when you get out of your home group tonight, call me. We need to talk some more. And it's good. I'm glad I got love like that today. Anyhow, man, that's what started off for me. And then like I'm the oldest, and my middle sister was born, and so there's more change, and I don't do good with change, man. Like, I'm getting better. I'm getting better with change through loving God and the program and Narcotics Anonymous. I need to say that. But I never did good with change, man. And so, like, I always hung around my cousins. They were all older than me. And I just started acting out, man. Like, I started seeking, like, that rush from negative attention. You know? Like, if somebody was going to throw a rock through the window, I was going to do it first. You know what I mean? Because there was something in me that's saying, like, you know what? I'm getting a charge out of being a bad boy. You know what I mean? There was like a charge coming out of me with that, man, at an early age, man. And that just sort of kept growing. And I'm talking about not being about nothing, man. Like, just slowly. Like, I had my grandparents and my parents did a good job raising me. I need to say that right now. They instilled in me spiritual principles. But I started getting a charge out of breaking them. And I remember hanging out with this kid one time, and I liked the kid, right? And we were young, man. I'm talking fifth, sixth grade, right? Grade school. We're hanging out, and my oldest cousin said, beat him up, Dan. Hit him, Dan. Beat him up, man. And I didn't want to beat him up. I didn't. But I did. You know what I mean? To get, like, some approval. Self-seeking behavior. Right? I'm talking about, I ain't using shit, man. And what I'm saying is every time I broke one of them spiritual principles, or those spiritual things that were in me, it like ate me out from the inside, man. Them spiritual termites, I call them. They start hollowing us out. And I know, like today, if I don't get up and say, hey, listen, man, I let the spiritual termites out yesterday, and they're gnawing away at me. If I don't tell my sponsor that, they will have my ass hollowed out again. And I will be somewhere trying to get comfortable again. So, I grew up, I liked sports, all that stuff, man. And my whole dynamic changed about my eighth grade year. And what happened, man, it was just life. Life on life's terms happened. I grew up, all my family worked in the mills, and like the mills like laid off. They closed down. And so all of a sudden, I'm going to school, right? First day of school, I say, I already hate this. You know, I didn't share that shit till I got here, man. You talk about carrying some, I can carry some misery for a while. I can carry some pain a ways, man. So now I'm going to school, right? Seventh, eighth grade year, my mom bought me these flannel shirts, man. The sleeves were like this long. And they were like this long. And my jeans, I'd have to cuff up. You know what I'm saying? And she was like, by the time you're a senior, you'll grow into that shit. Right? And that was like in the early 80s. So, we were grunge. Way before Kurt Cobain started slamming dope and wearing long-ass flannel shirts, man. I don't know. I guess that's where he got that shit from us, or I don't know, man. But I remember going to school dressed like that. Everybody else is wearing parachute pants and all that 80, big hair 80s shit, you know what I mean? And me and my cousins and everybody in the neighborhood I grew up in, we're all dressed the same, right? You know what I mean? Because we all were, like, we're all mill hunkies. You know what I mean? That's who it was, man. And, so we're all there, you know, with our long-ass shirts on and whatever, man. And all I'm saying is my oldest cousin was up hanging behind this old schoolhouse, and he had like a GMC Jimmy truck, and it was all lifted up, man, and they were blaring music. And I remember this girl, Mary Kay, she was running around, and they were throwing Frisbee, and she had a boob tube Oh, remember that shit, Boob Tubes? Yeah, and Daisy Duke shorts, right? And they're drinking like Schmitz or some shit like that, or Iron City Pony bottles, and smoking weed, and throwing frisbee, and everything looks good. And I remember like seeing that, man, and thinking, this is what the preacher's been talking about over time. This is heaven. I just found it right up here behind this old schoolhouse. And my whole dynamic of my life changed, man. I'm telling you. And that was revealed through step work. My whole purpose in my life changed as soon as I could get behind that schoolhouse. I would get off the bus. I'm talking 7th, 8th grade. Run home. Feed that dog. I ain't even petting him anymore. Just feed the dog. Do my homework, whatever I got to do. Fake that shit. Make it look like I did something. Do my little bit of chores so I can go up and sit on that wall behind that schoolhouse, right, and watch them guys throw frisbees and the girls run around and all that stuff and, like, listen to music. And listen, man, I ain't even using. I ain't even picked up yet. I'm just saying how this thing had me already. So see, it wasn't real hard for me to buy into getting high. It wasn't a hard pitch for somebody to make to me. You know what I'm saying? It was a lot easier than beating dude up that I liked. It was a lot easier than that. And I just started getting high, man. You know, it was just like a natural thing. And it was like, cool, man. Everybody was passing this shit around, you know, take two, social, you know, hanging. Everybody loved everybody. We're listening to Crosby, Stills, and Nash and shit, right? I mean, I sort of grew up in the post-hippie era, whatever. And that's what was going on. And it just jumped off, man. And right from the gate, I was just like caught up in the game. My whole motivation to go to school was to do two things, sell drugs and get laid. That was my whole purpose of going to school. That was revealed to me through step work. That's the only reason I woke up and went to the bus stop. I'm going to sell this weed up in here today, and I'm going to try to get laid. That's it. I don't care what they're teaching in English, history, geometry. I can give a shit less. Who can I get to go to the football game? Who can I get to come down the tracks with me, right? And how much weed can I sell in this bitch today? And that was it, man. That was it. And that was, like, it's just like, and what I'm saying is I didn't even know I was caught like that. I thought I was having fun, man. And I was caught up young. And you know, my senior year, I got caught selling drugs. Technically, I didn't get caught selling drugs. They made accusations that I was selling drugs in their institutions that they couldn't prove, right? And I wasn't saying nothing. So they expelled me, but they graduated me, right? And I ended up going in the Navy, delayed entry. And I want to talk about this because this is like how I found out some stuff. I'm leaving August 3rd to go to Chicago, August 3rd, 1986, to go to Chicago for basic training, delayed entry. I graduated in June. Now, all these knuckleheads I'm running around with say, as long as you quit smoking weed 30 days before you go, you're cool. Just don't get high after that. And by this time, I'm eating acid, and I'm experimenting with cocaine and whatever else comes down the pike. Like, I'm a gang. I'm in. Put my name down. Put me on the list. Just tell me what we're doing when I get there. You know what I mean? Oh, we're going to do coke. Okay. Cool. You know, it was crazy. But what started with me was this mindset that tomorrow I'm going to get my shit together. So July 3rd came, and everybody know what the day, what July 3rd is, right? It's the day before the 4th. And everybody knows what happens on the 4th of July, right? Fireworks, right? So my knuckleheaded we, says, ah, you'll be all right. You just quit after the 4th. Sounds like a plan to me. So the 5th comes, I'm getting high. 6th comes, I'm getting high. You know, boom, boom, boom. Now all of a sudden I'm like, and all of a sudden this mindset comes into me. You know what? Fuck it. I'm busted anyhow. You might as well just keep rolling, Holmes. You might as well just keep on getting on. Keep on keeping on. Because you already know, right? Anybody else's mind work like that? The only people I've found that mind work like that is in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. Right? And it's crazy that, like, somehow we're like, come on, you're out of your mind, let's go get coffee. You'll be all right. I understand exactly where you're at. Come on with us. You'll be okay. So I go to the MEP station on August 3rd, right? Powerless, using against my will. Like it says in here. 18 years old. I don't got a clue. I'm already using against my will. I can't stop. Want to stop. Good intentions to stop. Can't stop. I get down there, and this was my first consequence. Really big consequence, I guess. I get down there, and they say, all right, here's the deal. You can go back home and try to come back down here in 30 days. Right? Now I'm supposed to go to Chicago, right? He says, either that or you lose your school, and you got to go to San Diego, California. I'm 18 years old. My whole motivation is getting high and getting laid. My punishment's going to San Diego? Give me the ticket. You're going to send me to Southern Cal? If I'd have knew that, I wouldn't even been sweating this shit last night. I'm going to California instead of Chicago. Chicago's grimy. Been there a few times. I like grimy. I'm addicted to grimy. I'm telling you. But that was my first consequence, man. And I'm just saying, it just jumped off from there. And I was into whatever was going on, and I was committed to the cause. You know what I mean? I didn't care what else was going on. When it says, like, why are we here in our readings, like, my whole life and thinking was dominated by the use of drugs, I can identify. This was the first thing I remember getting this, and I want to make this quick. I want to get to some recovery. I just got to qualify for the newer person, right, that's in the struggle, that's out of their mind, right? It's okay. You're supposed to be out of your mind. We got a bunch of people running around today telling us, oh, you shouldn't be depressed. When you get here, you should be fucking depressed. I ain't met the Joker yet. Roll through the door like, everything's good. Glad I made it. Desperation is how we get here. I can't do another day like that. I don't want to live another day like that. I don't care where you're going, I'm going with you, right? We get willingness like only the dying can. So, I don't know where the hell I was going with that. I was talking about my whole life and thinking was dominated by drugs, man. And so I came to my first, I got introduced to Narcotics Anonymous like, in the spring of 1991, I went to my first institution. We got nice little names for them. They're called rehabs or whatever. But basically, I had to institutionalize myself. I could not live life like normal people do. And what happened was I went over to my parents' home, and I thank God for this every day. Like, I went over and I talked to my mom, and I said, I think I might have a problem because I wasn't allowed there anymore, right? Because it seemed like every time I left, there's shit left. Right? She had a legal pad full of numbers, man. She had did her homework. You know, she had went to church and prayed for me and prayed over me and talked to people about me and whatever and got some resources. And so that's how I got into my first institution. And I didn't understand, man, like what was going on with me. Really, man. I was 23 years old. I was a young man. I didn't have gray hair. I didn't have gray hair at the time, man. You know? I still had a lot of vigor in me. But I went up and I talked to this guy, and I remember him saying to me, he says, it was just different than it is today. Like, I went up there, I had nothing. I had nothing. I had no car, no license, no job, no nothing, man. Right? And I went up to Westmoreland Hospital, and I talked to this guy, and he said, you know what? He goes, I can get you in here Friday. And I said, Friday ain't good. Friday ain't good, man, because I had some hope that we were going to get some scrap. right? Something's going to come together, right? Friday ain't good, man. I got some hope that we might hit the jackpot this Friday. You know, I was way from being surrendered, man. Way from being surrendered. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, you can come Monday. And I came Monday. And I bring this up because that is where I got introduced to Narcotics Anonymous at, man. I went in there on a Monday, right? They put me in detox. And then back in then, they didn't give you nothing in detox. I mean, there was like no decaffeinated coffee, no chocolate, none of that shit. Like, they detoxified your ass, right? So I'm shaking and baking because something happened that weekend, you know? And they drugged me out that night to a Narcotics Anonymous H&I meeting. And Dennis S. from Everson was chairing that meeting. He's still clean today. Clean dates like 1989 or something like that. Right? And they handed me a reading. And I hadn't read nothing in a long time. Except freaking beer signs in a bar or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And I definitely hadn't read nothing out loud since I've been in school. And they said the Serenity Prayer. And it just like, you know, it blew me away. But I remember that meeting, and that was my introduction to Narcotics Anonymous, man. I don't know about anybody else. I was just talking to a dude. I'm trying, you know, there's this dude, man. I'm trying to 12-step him. And, you know, and it's bad out there, but he's still afraid to come in here because he ain't going to an institution. Right? He already came to me with that. 24 years old. So I'm trying to get him in a meeting for a minute. He's always like, what's going on? I said, I'll go with you. Because that's what we do here, right? Ain't that what it says, Rich? Yeah. Sometimes we accompany a new, right? Because I remember that. Like they said this, I didn't know the Serenity Prayer. I ain't ever been in no hit house in my life. In my life, where we're sitting there, everybody says, hang on. Before we get going here, let's take a moment of silence. Pray for the sick and suffering. And say the Serenity Prayer. Ain't nobody doing none of that in any dope house I've been in. You know what I mean? I'm just saying my experience here, man. Shit. So I got here, man, and right, and you get scared. I'm scared. You know what I mean, man. If you want to learn that quick, I gotta learn. They do that every meeting. Where can I get that at? It's in the white book. Thank God. You know, something free. You know, you don't got no money. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? People be like, you want to go to dinner? No, man. Nah, I got shit to do. Come on. And, you know, we'd be all like, you know, I remember being like that. These dudes would grab. I love my predecessors, man. I love the people that were here before me. Because, like, my journey hasn't been perfect here. But the one thing they always did, man, was they always included me. They always loved me. They always welcomed me. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Thank God. Or I might not have come back here, man. I'm grateful for that. You know, I'm standing there and be like, come on, man. I'm like, nah, you know. And, right? Because we know. When guys tell me that today, they'll be like, you know. I said, come on, dude, you're right out of the hit house. I know you don't got no money. I know you don't got shit to do there, big businessman, CEO. Come on with us. You know, you walked here. It's all right, man. We know how you get here. That's how I got here. I did not get here riding in that car. I got here walking. Ah, man. I love Narcotics Anonymous, man. You know, because them people just kept loving me and kept welcoming me, man. You know, and it wasn't like because... I don't know, man. I mean, I didn't think weed was a drug. It's a plant. What are you talking? I don't think I was one of them guys, you know? Shit, man. Please. I got clean September 20th, 1993, man. And I got high in the spring of 2001. And I need to say that. Because that's my story. And it's all I got. And I don't get into too much of that. But what I can tell you is I got high because I wasn't staying current. I got high because I wasn't in the process of recovery. And one day, opportunity met desire, and I was high again. And it's crazy because I look back now and think about it. You know, I was with some people from work in 2001, and I put myself in a good opportunity again. God had put me there, and NA had put me there, and all of a sudden, like, I think, you know what, I'll have a Rolling Rock. And I remember drinking that one Rolling Rock. This is just my story, right? One, I'm just telling my story. I drank that one Rolling Rock, and I looked at them people, and I thought, how the fuck can I get away from these people? Because I'm going to the project tonight. Because I got money. I've been clean for eight. I got stock portfolio. I got, you know, because I let the gorilla out, man. I'm going to be nice here. My buddy always tells me, he goes, you know when the gorilla quits screwing you? When he wants to. Once he gets on you. Because you ain't stopping him. And I let him out with that one beer. That was the key. And he got out. And I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. I was the first thought. That bottle hit the thing. I said, how can I get away from these people? Because I'm smoking crack tonight. I want all my money. Let's go to the bank. Give me all my money. I don't want to come back. I was one of them guys. I wasn't one of them $20 guys. I wasn't. You know them people? Well, all right. I love you too. If you were a $20 or $10 person, made 30 trips up and down the street, it's okay. I'm going up once. With everything I got. Yeah, you know I ain't getting high because I have our building down there. Like, everything must go. That's what I'm thinking. These owners, I'm thinking, oh, man. Like, do they know who I am? We'll be having a clearance sale on this bitch. Just today only. This weekend only. Whatever you want, man. Cash only. No checks. Can't get a block away from where you're at, man. Huh? They would be talking about that stuff, how we're free today in here. I'm thinking, what are they talking about? Man, I was in, we're in USA. I was in the service. We're free. I couldn't get, my whole life existed right up the street, man. I'd risk my life for right up the street. I put my life on the line for right up the street. I put anybody's life on the line for right up the street, man. Crazy. And I got back in here through, like, God's grace and mercy, man. I ain't trying to scare nobody. Listen, man, I did not pick my clean date. If I was going to pick my clean date, it'd be tomorrow. Because I sat in a lot of dope houses talking about tomorrow. Tomorrow. Tomorrow when I get my shit together. Tomorrow when I get this. Tomorrow I'm going to go to Wimber up this park and check it out. I heard it's nice, right? But right now I'm sitting here on these returnable cases getting high. You know what I mean? Tomorrow don't come for using addicts. It's about today, man. And April 21st of 2002, I was with my youngest cousin. He just lost his home. He's a wreck. He's a mess. My oldest cousin's in the penitentiary. I don't know when he's going to get out. He's doing a lot of time. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy now because I'm in my 40s. I'm 46 years old. Like, most of the jokers I ran with are either locked up or covered up. I'm one of the few guys walking the street, man. That's why I said I'm grateful. Grateful to be alive, man. I don't got HIV. I grew up in that craziness, right? Trying to get laid every day, right? You know, not even understanding that. Anybody that grew up through that. Grateful, man. So we're getting high, and all of a sudden, he wants to do a fist step, like 5 o'clock Sunday morning. You know, he wants to start asking me about what happened to me and why I don't go to meetings anymore. Because I had like almost 8 years clean, man. I ain't like I had 60 days. I ain't knocking somebody had 60 days. Right? I'm just saying I had time in here. You know what I mean? Fuck that. That dog got time. Doesn't say anything in here about time. Nowhere in there does it say anything about time. Time will get you this. Time will get you that. Doesn't say that in there. Recovery, surrender. Oh, that's a whole different ball game. Just for today. And I wanted to lie, man, because he was like, "Well, don't that stuff work, Dan?" And I wanted to lie like a rug, like I'm capable of, right? But here's where I got tripped up, man. Shadow conscious contact. And here's where you guys screwed me up. And I'm going to let you know, in case you're on the fence, right, how you're going to get screwed up. They gave it to me, man. Y'all gave it to me. I didn't need an access card. I didn't need an insurance card. You know what I'm saying? People came, man, and picked me up. Right? And when I first come around in the early 90s, man, NA wasn't like it is now. It's big now down where I'm at, you know, and that's good. Sometimes I think it's bad. I still like to go to where there's like 10 people in a musty basement and shit. You know what I mean? Like, I like them meetings. You know, nothing against it, man. I get there 90 people and it's whatever, man. Fashion show. It's cool. Hey, I love you too, man. I just come up into 10 people, you know, type of meetings. And dudes would come like 35 minutes out of my way and pick me up. And we would go another 25 minutes out of the way to a meeting. And they would never charge me a dime. And they would never tell me no. You know what I mean? But they did tell me some shit. They were like, listen, man, you need to set your day up. So anybody that's new, I'm letting you know this. Because I talk to a lot of new people. And after a few, I'll let you go a few times, and then I'm going to bust your ass with this. I'm just going to let you know. You need to set your day up. Like, I needed to have my ride for tomorrow set up today. Because you're the guy without a ride. You're the guy that the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania said, well, we don't think you're going to drive for a while, my friend. We're all right with you not being on our roads. You're the guy without a job. You know what I'm saying? And the crazy thing was, we didn't have this shit. So I had to call somebody on a phone that was hooked to a wall and hope that they were standing next to their phone that was hooked on a wall, right? So now you got to know people's work schedules. I knew, like, hey, I knew everybody's schedule, right? This dude, these guys work in the mill, all right, he's on 3 to 11. He's out. He's out, man. So I got to get, you know what I'm saying? And that, you know what, man? And the thing about that, well, that'll keep you thinking about from getting high for a minute if you're thinking about putting your day together, how not to get high, how to get to a meeting. Because I got these guys that call me, like, thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. I got a life. So Monday, I probably not going to a meeting. Right? I'll go, not planning on it. I'm going to go to work, I'm going to go to the gym, and I'm probably going to come home. Maybe piss around outside and do something. I get these guys that text me at 6:54 when I'm getting ready to walk out of the gym. Hey, Dan, you going to the 7 o'clock? No. No, I ain't. And by the way, tell your sponsor to call me when he gets a chance. I used to do that shit. I used to go out of my way. Oh, man, this person might die. Blah, 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 blah. All this bullshit. You know what, man? That ain't helping you. You need to get responsible. We need to be responsible for our own recovery. What was your response? Now, if you say, hey, this jack-off just left me standing here. I don't got no ride. He didn't call or nothing. Then I might have a little mercy on you. But if you want, I'll give you a ride. I can give four people a ride. See, I got my seat in that car. I know I can fit three in there real comfortably besides me. If you're in the back, you might be jammed up if we get five in there. You know what I mean? But my seat's good. The driver's seat's nice. Anyhow, man, I don't know. That's my experience here, man. I don't know how long I got. I'm trying to. This is the greatest show. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I don't know about anybody else, man. I knew I was going to come up here. I was going to be safe. I was going to be safe today, man. You know what I mean? And if you're going to meetings that ain't safe, you need to talk to the home group. Because it needs to be safe. Right? Some days, I'm going to share some shit, man. And I'm going to shut up. I had, like, the other week, I need to say this. The other week, because I was jammed up. And I was talking to my sponsor. Because I was ready to get rid of Facebook. Completely. Complete abstinence. Right? Because I watched some of the shit that goes on in there. And I'm like, so I'm calling my sponsor. I said, I really don't want to get rid of it. Because I got some friends from high school and some friends from other states. And we sort of communicate through that sometimes. And he said, well, why don't, you know, take an inventory of it. I said, yeah, there we go. That's why I got him, right? I need him. I need a sponsor to get me back. Take an inventory. Simple, right? I just can't come up with it myself. So I grab a dictionary, because I'm a big one for a dictionary. Because I used to think, well, that meant that. And then it'll be like, no, that didn't mean that. Like honesty. Look up the word honesty sometimes. You know what I mean? I was all twisted about that. But I looked up the word friend in the dictionary. A lot of people didn't make the cut. Being honest, man. I ain't being hurtful there. I got a lot of acquaintances. I'm not being hostile. A lot of acquaintances, a lot of people I've met, not a lot of friends. There's a lot of people in here still on my Facebook. I'm like, yeah, they're all like, look at them. They're all smiling. We made the cut. We're in. We got in by the Dixie. The Dixie. Webster's kept us in. You know what I mean? Because I would watch some shit, man. It would drive me crazy. Like, I'd pick up my phone. I look on Facebook. Now, I know this joker is in the 7:30 meeting. Posting on Facebook what's going on in the meeting. And I want to call him and say, tell your fucking sponsor to call me. Because I want to talk to him about the 12 traditions and anonymity. So, I don't know, man. I'm a guy that sometimes, you know, my message is my message and I don't apologize for it. You know, it's still about life and death, man. I'm a big believer in, like, shutting this thing off. Usually I leave it in the car. Because I don't need distracted. See, when I was learning how to cook crack, I wasn't distracted. I was focused. I came early. I stayed late. I paid attention. I asked questions. People trying to kill me, I would do that shit with. People trying to help me save my life free of charge, I don't want to listen to you. All right, man. I remember I used to say stuff like, you know, if the word God chases you out of here, it's all right because the dope will chase you back in. Shit like that. You know, I'm at a point now sometimes I'm like, you know what, man? I just share from the heart, man, and I share honestly. Sometimes people get a little salty with me, but it's okay. You know what? If I chase you out, man, I hope dope chase you back in here, man. I don't know. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me. I mean, I ain't sitting in a freaking trailer somewhere, man, with people I don't like. You know what I mean? Well, people, you know what I'm saying? People I don't even like. Taking all my money. Talking about when I get my shit together. You know? I sort of got my shit a little bit together today. Through the help of you guys and God, man. I want to thank you guys for letting me come up here. The retreat, I love the retreat. I try to come up every year and have a good time with a lot of people, man. I don't know. I'm just an addict named Dan. I'm grateful.